Hi, I'm Ed Slott.
And I'm Jeff Levine.
And we're two guys who just love to talk about retirement and taxes.
Look, our mission is simple, to educate you, the saver, so that you can make better decisions, because better decisions, on the whole, lead to better outcomes.
And here's how we're going to do that. Each week, Jeff and I will debate the pros and the cons of a particular retirement strategy or topic, with the goal of helping you keep more of your hard-earned money.
At the end of each debate, there's going to be one clear winner. You, a more informed saver who can hopefully apply the merits of each side of the debate to your own personal situation to decide what's best for you and your family.
So here we go. Welcome to the Great Retirement Debate. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Great Retirement Debate. I'm Ed Slott, and with me here is Jeff Levine. And today, Jeff, we're talking about, should you tap your 401k, even take a loan from your 401k to buy your first home? What do you think about that?
Well, I think we start with the fact that, in general, retirement accounts should be preserved for retirement, right? Like, there's a reason they're called retirement accounts. 401k would be one of those. And if you take money out of your plan or any other type of retirement account, you're reducing the amount of money you're going to have available later at a time of your life when it may be harder to work and to earn money than it is today. So I think that's a good starting point. But when it comes to, should you, as the listener here, or maybe it's not you, but maybe you're listening today and thinking about your child or your grandchild or some other friend or family member who you're close with, when the going through that thought process, right, it's not always all about math. There are, you know, stages of life where things are really important for you. And for a lot of people, there's really not a price you can put on having a home to raise your family or to be with a loved one or whatnot. There's, you know, there's a non-financial element to this. And some people may be willing to forego other things later on in life in order to have a home at a time of their life when it may be more impactful than in the future. So should you do this? Ultimately, answer, Ed, I think, we'll probably spend the next 15, 20 minutes unpacking this, but it depends, right? It's just like anything else in the financial arena. It depends upon your specific facts and circumstances and what's important to you.
Right. In the past, I would agree with everything you said. You know, your retirement income, your retirement is for retirement. If you spend it now, I used to say that in every seminar. But that was more for the taking money out and paying a 10% penalty before 59 and a half. And you do that, what are you going to have left for retirement? And that was more towards spending it on like a big TV or things like that, that really have no long-term growth potential. I've been looking into this recently because there is sort of home crisis. And again, for most of the people that listen, actually, I don't really know, but I think we have an older audience of maybe, what would you say, 50s or something like that for our podcast?
Yeah, I think it's all, but I think most of our audience has a home already.
That's a better way. Yeah, forget older, is already a home.
But Ed, see, I think what Ed, I just want, whoever you are listening today, Ed just called you old. I usually call Ed old, but that's Ed and I. Ed just called you old. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah. All right. We have a mature, more home, but people that have already.
We have a high percentage of homeowners as listeners. Yes.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. All right. And so you may think, well, I've already done.
Now that you've offended all of our listeners, Ed, tell us what you think.
Yeah. Okay. But for your children or grandchildren, I've been looking into this and almost every study says exactly what Jeff said. It's not based on the numbers. People want a home. Young people want a home when they want a home. They're getting married. They're starting a life. They want a home. You could show them the numbers and they'll say, we'll make it work. We want a home. We want that home. It's going to cost that much and we'll pull the money from wherever we have to do it. And it may make sense in certain situations. And what I'm really talking about is taking a loan from your 401k. Now, I think we've done podcasts in the past on whether it pays to take a loan from your 401k. And I think I was, or maybe you said it, I don't remember, that we said that's generally not a good idea because you're taking money out, you have to pay it back, you end up paying twice. You know, we went through all of that. But now I'm thinking, you know what? So here's what you're doing. You're borrowing from your 401k, which still has to be paid back because you need money for closing to make it work. And generally, younger people have lower balances. So I'm talking more about for closing expenses. Younger people in their 20s, they can borrow up to, say, 50% or so. But what's 50% if they only have 30, 40, or 50,000 in there? Maybe if they're in their 30s, they have 100,000. So we're talking about getting into the home. So you
Right. And
go.
it's worth pointing out, Ed, that no matter how much money you have, at least based on today's rules, the most you can borrow from your 401k is
Right.
$50,000, right? You can
Right.
have $10 million in your 401k, and you can borrow $50,000 at a maximum. If your balance is smaller, it may be smaller than $50,000.
Right. Right. So there's the overall limit, which should cover most average home closing costs to get into the house. That's really what we're talking about. So the theory was, and I think we've both kind of argued that that's probably not a good idea. But if you look at it long term, and that's what I'm looking at now, I may change my position in certain cases because what are you really doing? People want the home now. People in their 20s or 30s, the average person buying a first home now is over 30 years old. That's how tough it is now. Is over 30 years old and they want a home. They're not thinking, and you may correct me here, and other people will, they're not thinking that, well, their first priority isn't saving for retirement. Of course, they're thinking
Right.
for retirement, they're putting away in a 401k, but that's not the priority. They want the home. So I'm thinking, you know, why keep building up a taxable 401k anyway? And this is just a loan, so it goes back. Hopefully, you can repay the loan. That's a big consideration. So really, all you're doing is trading the 401k, which may not be a good long-term asset, for a better long-term asset with more equity, more tax advantages in your home. Plus, you want the home.
I think all of that's fair. What I would point out, just a few on the technical side here, for those thinking like, well, is this good for me or for my child, whoever else I'm thinking about? The first thing is, if you have a 401k, it doesn't automatically mean that you can borrow from it, right? Every 401k is different, and not all plans will allow you. It's actually a plan-by-plan decision. The employer can kind of set those rules within the IRS parameters. But many plans do allow that. And again, you're able to take out. Now, generally speaking, a loan has to be paid back within 5 years if you take it out of a 401k. But there are actually some special provisions in there. If you use it for a home, you can actually get a little bit longer time frame over which to pay that back. But ultimately, I think it's really important to remember that it is a loan just like anything else that you said, Ed. You're borrowing from yourself effectively. But at the end of the day, it is going to be like you still have to be able to afford the house. But if you're going to have to take that loan from somewhere, now, when rates at the bank were next to nothing, right, and you could get money relatively cheaply, well, that it seemed like it was generally a much better place to take money from the bank. Now that interest rates are a little bit higher than they were, depending on where we are today, it's north of zero, which is where it was not too long ago, right, when a lot of people were taking loans. The higher the interest rate at the bank, the more it may make sense to consider using your own money because that lowers the amount of money you have to pay back to the bank over time. You pay yourself, and there's an interest rate associated with that, but it's generally less than it would be. And again, you're paying back that interest to yourself in the 401k loan.
Right. But my point is it's going back. That's all true. And but again, you're still depleting the balance and you have to put it back in. And that could be a problem long term. But the point is that I'm looking at more now is, you know, the home could be a great part of a future retirement. You know, in the retirement, a lot of times people's homes, along with their IRA, are their biggest assets in retirement. But the IRA, where this 401k money will eventually end up in most cases, so that's why I'm saying the IRA. The IRA is a fully taxable account where the home has all kinds of tax advantages when you sell, or you leave it to heirs, or you can tap it for reverse mortgages. It's a great source of equity in retirement. So you might look at it that way to say, you know what? It might be better to build that asset than the 401k.
Yeah, in a large respect, you're not so much spending the money as you
Right.
are transferring it from one asset to
Right.
another, right? And that there's a big difference there, right? If you want to borrow from your 401k to go on a vacation, that money, the
Right.
value there is effectively gone. If you
Right.
put it into a home, you're just trading one asset for another. It's like moving money from a stock into a, selling it and having it go, the cash go into a bank account. You still have the same amount of an asset. It's just you've transformed its fact. Now, Ed, we've primarily been talking here so far about 401ks. You also already mentioned that most people tend to, when they have the opportunity, move money from 401k into an IRA. So I think it's at least worth us discussing here if the same principles apply to potentially taking money out of an IRA in order to pay for it. And I think there we have to begin with the rules, unfortunately, for IRAs, for individuals thinking about this, are very different than they are for 401ks. With a 401k, you do have that ability to take a loan. A loan for an IRA is what's known as a prohibited transaction. It is a no-no, the biggest no-no of no-nos. In fact, if you were to borrow even just, $10, like you're $10 short for your closing, but you've got $500,000 put away, and you say, I can't go. You go around, you ask everybody you know, and no one's going to give you the $10. So you go and you borrow it from your IRA. That $10 you just borrowed from your IRA makes the entire $500,000 in that account taxable all at once. And of course, if you're under 59 and a half, which a lot of home buyers that would be in this position would be, it's not only the income tax, it's the 10% penalty on top of that, and could easily destroy a retirement savings. What would have been so far a lifetime's worth of savings would be taxable all at once, subject to a 10% penalty, and really could erode wealth long term. So the idea of doing this from an IRA and borrowing doesn't work. But there are, in fairness, at least some benefits that could be available from an IRA, right, Ed?
Well, you first-time home buyer, you'll pay the tax. In other words, if you're using IRA money, that's taxable money. You can't borrow. That's the big difference. With the 401k, when you borrow, that money's not taxable. That's why it's attractive to young people. Say, look, I could take this money without increasing my tax bill. If I take it from an IRA, I increase my tax bill. Now, there is a special provision. Again, we're saying most first-time home buyers are probably 99% or under 59 and a half. You'll have a 10% penalty, but there's a special exception, but only for a small limited amount, $10,000 lifetime. Again, that's not even enough to cover average closing costs. So that's the most you can get out penalty free, $10,000 over your lifetime from an IRA. The rest would be taxable and subject to a penalty. But let's go back now. Now we're in different territory. Would it pay? Now we're talking about a loan, and you said, the loan amounts could be small, 50% of your balance. Younger people, even if they have 100,000 or more, the most they can get is 50,000. That may get them over the hump. But would we go even farther? Would it pay to take a taxable distribution with a 10% penalty to get you into your first home? I don't know about that. You'd have to see the numbers going out. Normally, a 10% penalty for anything in the tax code other than the NUA tax break, net unrealized appreciation, is a deal breaker for me. So I don't know. That might be a deal breaker for me. I'm not worried about as much about the tax because you're getting the money out while they're in a lower tax bracket. Most young people are in a lower rate. The tax is going to be minimal, and maybe even the penalty might be minimal based on their level of income, based on their level of income, how much they take. The 10% is based across the board on what they take, but the
That's
tax
right.
might be much lower. So, you
And
know.
it's worth pointing out for those individuals, like even if you have negative income, you still have to pay the
Right,
penalty.
right, right.
Yeah, I remember that happened. There was a court case a number of years ago where that they
You're in
decided that.
city.
In other
We
words, yeah, if you've got like $25,000 of income and you wipe the whole thing away with your standard deduction, but you took out $25,000 from your IRA, you've got to pay a $2,500 penalty on that, even if you have enough. The like credits and every like the credits can offset a penalty, but negative income can't. So I think about
Well,
it
is it
in
a
this
deal
way.
breaker? That's the thing. Because if you're getting money out, and people said this, at least I feel this way, getting money out of the 401k is probably good while rates are low. It's the 10% penalty. Will a low rate make up for the pen paying the 10% penalty down the road when the funds are in a better asset in a home?
Well, so I think the answer to your question and the answer to the should you take the money out to pay down like and pay the 10% penalty, all of those things are related to to the idea of like, if you have the thought that you might want to buy a home in the somewhat near future, and I realize things change, people's priorities change. You weren't planning on kids, maybe you have kids, maybe you're planning on one and you find out you have triplets and you need a bigger house, like whatever it is, right? Like things happen and you can't always foresee and plan for the future with perfect clairvoyance, right? But if you're thinking like, I may need this money, then maybe the retirement account is not the best place to put it in the first place, right? So if your choice is, hey, in 3 or 4 years, I may want to use this money to buy a house, then you're probably, better off not putting it in the retirement account, paying tax today at your low rate, but without a 10% penalty, stuffing it in a regular taxable account and having it available for the purchase of that home. Now, if you don't know, then it comes down to should I pay the tax and the penalty? And it's probably not a great financial move in a lot of those situations. But again, I think you've hit on it a couple times. A lot of people just, I don't care, right? Like, I
I
don't
want the
care. I want a
home.
house. I have, the situation I'm in now. I'm relatively young. I want to win. I'm not going to get these years back of my life.
Right.
So let me, and that's just a personal choice. Mathematically, financially, it's probably not the best decision, but
Well, I don't know. Look at the home as a valuable asset in retirement.
paying tax and the 10% penalty, the
Yeah,
math
I
would be
know. It's
hard to
it
make that
bothers
work.
me too. To me, it's somewhat of a deal breaker. What I was thinking, if you can get that money out at such a low rate out of your 401k, does that offset? Does it take the edge off the penalty? And
Well,
just
there, even there, right? If you were thinking that way, then you just don't put it into the retirement account, right?
right.
Pay the tax today, and then you don't have the 10% penalty. Just don't put it into a retirement account. And I think that's a fair discussion too,
Yeah,
right?
that's a
When
great
you're,
point.
you know, yeah, when you're in this early stage of life and you perhaps have different priorities and goals, the retirement account may not be the best thing for you. Or one more here, Ed, that we haven't talked about is if you have far enough forethought, right? Like, hey, I'm 25 now, but at 30 or 31, you said the average homeowner now today is, past 30 for their first home. If I'm thinking, hey, I'm 25, but I may want to use this money in the future at 30 or 31 to buy a house, maybe convert today. And one of the things that's really unique about the Roth IRA is anything you convert today,
Right.
if you wait more than 5 years, you can take it without a penalty. So you can pay the tax today. And let's just for argument's sake, let's say our 25-year-old happened to be a really great saver and had already put away, $70,000 into a 401k. I said they were a great saver, Ed. All
Yeah.
right. They're great. So our 25-year-old put $70,000 away into their 401k already. They've been maxing it out for the first, 2 or 3 years of their working. And the $70,000 they convert today goes to, $120,000 by the time they could take out, if it's in a Roth IRA, they could take out $70,000, the amount they converted today, without a tax or penalty when they're 31 after 5 years. There is no tax, no penalty on the amount they converted, not the earnings, right? The earnings would still be subject to income tax and a penalty. But again, that gives you another way to potentially think about using your retirement funds now for a future home purchase in a tax-efficient way.
Even without the 401k, the conversion, a better idea if you have limited funds is just do Roth IRA contributions for the 7 or 8,000, whatever it is each year, and build up there. Contributions can be withdrawn tax and penalty free at any time for any reason. It's a good parking place for future planning. But here's the problem with all of that. I don't know anybody who really plans out when they buy a home. You're 25, you might be thinking about it, but then all of a sudden you get married, you do that. I want it now. Yeah, there's no planning. It sounds good. So here's the message to our homeowner listeners, not older listeners, homeowner viewers watching this. You might plant that seed with your kids or grandkids that might be thinking about buying a home and say, you know what? You might be thinking about it or maybe not. But if you think you want a home, and most of them do, almost every young person wants to buy a home. Every study has showed that I've seen or heard about. And How about putting money away in your Roth IRA? Just saying, maybe not fill up in the 401k, put it in a place that if you do want to, you can do all the things you talked about. So just to recap everything we talked about, should you use your retirement account, your 401k or IRA to buy a first home? We talked about several ways. The big way was to take a loan from the 401k. You can't do that from an IRA, and that gets paid back and it's not taxable. If you need even more money, you might take an actual distribution, but you'd probably pay a 10% penalty. With an IRA, you can take a distribution and the first $10,000 is penalty free if used for a first home, but that's once in a lifetime. Or I like what you said there. If people have the foresight to plan, don't put the money in the 401k in the first place. Use the Roth 401k or your Roth IRA instead. But the problem with that is most people get their job. It's like a knee-jerk reaction. It's almost default. You go right into the 401k. I don't even know if younger people know they should probably go right into the Roth 401k and not the 401k, but everybody goes right into the 401k. So that's where the money is.
And of course, if you convert in the 401k, you may not have the same, the Roth IRA has different distribution rules than the Roth 401k, which make it the Roth 401k not as quite as efficient. But all right, yeah. So I think all of that makes a lot of sense, Ed. And look, ultimately, the point here is that listeners are able to borrow, no pun intended, some of this, like maybe pun intended, some of this information in order to help those around them make better choices. And here at the Great Retirement Debate, our goal is to always make the winner of the debate you, a more informed and knowledgeable consumer who can make better decisions, because better decisions on the whole lead to better outcomes. And that's what Ed and I are on a mission to help you accomplish. So, Ed, thanks so much. This was a fun topic, one we don't normally get to talk about. This was good.
And I've changed my thinking on this quite a bit.
All right. Well, thanks so much and have a great day. And we'll see you next time on the Great Retirement Debate.
Jeffrey Levine is Chief Planning Officer at Focus Partners. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be construed as specific investment, accounting, legal, or tax advice. Certain information mentioned may be based on third-party information which may become outdated or otherwise superseded without notice. Third-party information is deemed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. The topic discussed and corresponding arguments are those of the speakers and may not accurately reflect those of Focus Partners.